ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये। नष्टप्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। श्रीमद्भागवतम टेंथ कैंटो चैप्टर 36 एंटाइटल्ड द स्लेइंग ऑफ अरिष्ट द बुल डीमन टेक्स्ट 17। यशोदायाः सुतां कन्याम् यशोदायाः सुतां कन्याम् देवक्याः कृष्णमेव च देवक्याः कृष्णमेव च रामं च रोहिणी पुत्रम् रामं च रोहिणी पुत्रम् वसुदेवेन बिभ्यता वसुदेवेन बिभ्यता। न्यस्तौ स्वमित्रे नन्दे वै न्यस्तौ स्वमित्रे नन्दे वै याभ्यां ते पुरुषा हताः याभ्यां ते पुरुषा हताः। यशोदायाः सुतां कन्यां देवक्याः कृष्णमेव च रामं च रोहिणी पुत्रम् वसुदेवेन बिभ्यता। न्यस्तौ स्वमित्रे नन्दे वै याभ्यां ते पुरुषा हताः। यशोदायाः सुतां कन्यां देवक्याः कृष्णमेव च रामं च रोहिणी पुत्रम् वसुदेवेन बिभ्यता। न्यस्तौ स्वमित्रे नन्दे वै याभ्यां ते पुरुषा हताः। यशोदासुतां कन्यां देवक्याः कृष्णमेव च रामं च रोहिणी पुत्रम् न्यस्तौ स्वमित्रे नन्दे वै याभ्यां ते पुरुषा हताः। यशोदायाः सुतां कन्यां देवक्याः कृष्णमेव च रामं च रोहिणी पुत्रम् देवेन बिभ्यता। यस्तौ सुमित्रे नन्दे वै अभ्यां दे पुरुषाहता। यशोदाया सुतां कन्या देवक्या कृष्णमेव च Charohini putram Vasudevena vibhyata Vyastau samitre nandevai Nyabhyam devurushahataha. Mataji. Yashodaya sutam kanya Devakya Krishna mevacha Ramam charohini putram Vasudevena vibhyata Nyastau swamitre nandevai Yabhyam devurushahataha. Yashodaya sutam kanyam Devakya Krishna mevacha Ramam charohini putram Vasudevena vibhyata Nyastau swamitre nandevai Yabhyam te purushahataha. Yashodayaha of Yashoda, Sutam the daughter, Kanyam the female child, Devakyaha of Devaki, Krishnam Krishna, Evacha also, Ramam Balaram, Cha and Rohini Putram, the son of Rohini, Vasudevena by Vasudev, Bibhyata who was afraid, Nyastau placed, Swamitre with his friend, Nande Nanda Maharaj, why indeed, Yabhyam by which two, your Purushaha men Hataha have been killed. Translation. Narada told Kamsa, Yashoda's child was actually a daughter and Krishna is the son of Devaki. Also, Ram is the son of Rohini. Out of fear, Vasudev entrusted Krishna and Balaram to his friend Nanda Maharaj. And it is these two boys who have killed your men. Purport. Kamsa had been led to believe that Krishna was the son of Yashoda and that Devaki's eighth child had been a daughter. The identity of Devaki's eighth child was extremely important to Kamsa because a prophecy had foretold that her eighth child would kill him. Here, Narada informs the king that the eighth child of Devaki was the formidable Krishna, thus implying that the prophecy should be taken very seriously. Having received this information, Kamsa obviously will now do everything in his power to kill Krishna and Balaram. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupakadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam. Vandeham Shri Guruhu Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Jaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Opesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpataru Bhesha Kripa Sindhu Bhyevacha Paditanam Pavani Bhyo Vaishnave Bhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shrivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Narada told Kamsa, Yashoda's child was actually a daughter and Krishna is the son of Devaki. Also Rama is the son of Rohini. Out of fear, Vasudeva entrusted Krishna and Balaram to his friend Nanda Maharaj, and it is these two boys who have killed your men. Hare Krishna. In the last few days, I have been offering aarti to Srimad Bhagavatam more than reading it. For having, in the spur of the moment, in a Sunday feast class during the marathon, pushing people to buy Srimad Bhagavatam to the point that I said, I will come and deliver to your house. And Baladev Prabhu was always creatively thinking of ways and means to increase the book distribution, cashed in upon that statement and announced whoever buys, purchases Srimad Bhagavatam today, personally he will come and distribute. Of course he asked me. And I thought, 2-3 will go. So I said, yeah, sure, I'll come. Anyway, I was feeling very guilty that I hadn't distributed any books throughout the month. So I was thinking, at least some excuse, I can show my face to Prabhupada. I also distributed during marathon. And by Krishna's inconceivable grace and mercy of Srila Prabhupada and the Vaishnavas, 36 sets of Srimad Bhagavatam were distributed that day. I was very happy, but for the fact that I had to visit so many. And Baldev Prabhu had promised that we will do aarti in your home to Srimad Bhagavatam. And but then also I was feeling that we are against mere ritualistic, you know, kind of karmakandi worship of Bhagavatam. Because it has many times happened that I sometimes visit some devotees' home and during the course of the conversation I quote something from the Bhagavatam and I said, I would like to show you a purport and please get the Bhagavatam. And invariably, whichever canto they bring, you have to inaugurate it by opening the plastic, you know, cover of that. It's been kept very safely, in a very protected way, absolutely untouched by anyone and anything, including the household, the residents. So that is to inspire them to at least open it up. Except the first canto, of course. Sometimes they open the first canto to get signature of the, you know, somebody who has given them. So, as feeling that it shouldn't become into a ritual, so we had a seminar here for all those people who bought it on that day and their family members, because ultimately, if all are supportive, only then you can read Bhagavatam on a regular basis. So we had a nice presentation here and I spoke, and now I'm feeling that maybe I should do a 3-day seminar for all those who have purchased Bhagavatam in our congregation. Really, to inspire them to actually start reading. That is the culmination, or rather perfection, of book distribution. It's amazing, it's wonderful to actually distribute books. But it will be much more pleasing, satisfying and fulfilling when we know that people are actually taking advantage of those books. Because ultimately these books are meant to be read, to be understood thoroughly, first of all. And then to sincerely apply it to the best of one's ability in one's own life. And then, having received the joy of understanding and appreciating the wealth of wisdom that is contained within it, being inspired to actually share it with others as an instrument of the Lord's compassion. And of course, in giving, we receive more. So, wherever I went, I inspired them to buy 2 more books. And the first was a beautiful book. Very, very, very nicely written, very simply written, which will help us to get a bird's eye view of what's in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And that is Srimad Bhagavatam at a Glance by Narayani Devi Mataji from Vrindavan. She's an amazing teacher, along with Yashoda Mataji. You know, these are all lifelong teachers. They have been teaching, such amazing teachers. They have compiled this Srimad Bhagavatam at a Glance, just like a bird eye view of seeing the whole Bhagavatam at a glance. Just, it's like one sheet of paper, you put it on your desk, you know, just on a chart like, and look at the whole Bhagavatam, everything that is contained at one glance. She draws, for every canto she has drawn a lotus with 4 or 5 petals. Like first canto she has drawn 5 petals, so consisting of 19 chapters. So first 3 chapters talk about the 6 sages, 6 questions of the sages of Naimisharanya and Suta Goswami's answer. 4, 5, 6, Vyasadeva and Narada's conversation. The impetus to write the Srimad Bhagavatam, the purpose of writing Srimad Bhagavatam. What was the impetus behind writing this? And what is the content of Srimad Bhagavatam? And Narada's own personal example of how pure devotional service actually inspired him to achieve the perfection in this very lifetime. Kalau Shudra Sambhava. In Kali Yuga, everyone is a Shudra. Narada, in his previous life, was a son of a Dasi. And in that very lifetime, he achieved perfection by the association of Bhakti Vedantas. So that's a very powerful message for Kali Yuga, because Kali Yuga, everyone Kalau Shudra Sambhava. Everyone is a Shudra. No qualification whatsoever. But this actually can give perfection. Then seventh, son of Drona punished, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, till Krishna going to Dwarka. Krishna and the Pandavas, their relationship. And 12, Maharaj Parikshit is born. 13, 14, 15, Krishna and the Pandavas. Pandavas' separation from Krishna. In the first part, Krishna's separation from the Pandavas. Krishna's feeling for the Pandavas. Prayers of Queen Kunti, prayers of Bhishma. And then the Pandavas feeling separation, that is 13, 14 and 15. And 16, 17, 18, 19 are Shukadeva Goswami and Parikshit Maharaja's rule, Parikshit Maharaja's. The glory of Parikshit Maharaja's birth, the glory of Parikshit Maharaja's rule, and the glory of his, the way he died. All these three are described in the next four chapters. So basically in that five petals she has drawn, so you just look at it and you know what is where, or where is what in the Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto. So there are like 12 lotus petals she has drawn. And if you just put those two, you know, just that chart in front of you, you just know where is what. And then you can zoom in wherever you want to for elaboration. Then you know, oh, wait, choose. Today you may choose. Today I want to go into this mood. Now, you know, Prahlad, little dasyaras I want to taste today. It's like, you know, a shelf full of different juices. Rasamalayam, Srimad Bhagavatam Rasamalayam. Today I think I'll go for grape juice, you know. Today I'll go for this flavor, vanilla flavor, this flavor. So you can pick up anything which you want to relish. You know, sometimes you have these books, you know, some index on, if you're feeling lack of determination, what to do? If you're feeling your mind is not rest, if your mind is restless, what do you do? So if you know where is what, you can pick up what you want, whenever you want, for inspiration. Or for sharing something with others who are going through certain difficult situation. And just read the words of Bhagavatam, of Krishna and the person Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada. Another book was also Srimad Bhagavatam Condensed by Purna Pragya Prabhu. A devotee in the movement for 12 years told me that he bought Bhagavatam many years ago. And he made a shelf, beautiful shelf, exclusively for it, because it's non-different from Krishna. But every time he looked at it, it was too overwhelming to read it. And he was kind of, I don't know whether I'll ever be able to read the whole thing. But then, he came across this book, Srimad Bhagavatam Condensed, where just one book, maybe a 600, 650 pages or something, this size, 15 by 17 inches or 17 centimeters, whatever. And essential philosophy and the story is given. So in just 1.5 months, he completed the whole 12 cantos. He got the satisfaction. I read the whole Bhagavatam. I know where is what now. Now I am inspired, he said, to pick up and go deeper into Srila Prabhupada's purports. Otherwise, sometimes, many a time, devotees try picking. Of course, Srimad Bhagavatam is tasty anywhere. It's like a sugar candy. Wherever you taste it is equally sweet. But then, for a sustained taste, until and unless we have relished also in a systematical way and also know where is what and also appreciate these purports and its application part. That's what actually purport is all about. It makes the eternal truth, which are described through various incidences in the past, accessible and more relevant to today's day and age. And you can actually see Srimad Bhagavatam happening all around you. Every moment, at least the don'ts, what should not happen, which is happening. You get Shastra Chakshu. You actually get the vision of Vyasdev, the vision of Shukadev Goswami, the vision of Krishna, how he sees this world. Devadarshan, Narada Devadarshan. That's what this situation is all about. He could easily see what's going to happen to Kamsa. Narada is Trikalagya. He can see the past, present and future. Why? Because he sees through the eyes of Srimad Bhagavatam. When Prabhupada went to Moscow first time, he just looked at it and he said, this won't last long. Such oppressive rule, suppressing the people for such a long, this won't last long. How could he say that? As if that prophecy came true. Why? It is a fact. This is what happens. It's like a spring. If you keep on pressing it, it just bounces back. So, it won't last long. Moghasha, mogha karmano. Mogha jnana vichetasah, rakshasi masurim chaiva, prakritim mohinim shritaah. That kind of a godless civilization won't last long. It's only a question of time, that's all. If a drunk person on the top of a multi-storied building which has no ledge on the corner is running at full speed, it doesn't take a Nostradamus to say what is the future of that person. You can see it. So, Bhagavatam actually opens our eyes. So, science means, Prabhupada explains, such a beautiful, very crisp definition. Mitam cha saram cha vacho hi vagmita. Essential truth spoken concisely is eloquence. So, Prabhupada explains, what is science? To see things as they are. Such a crisp and perfect, complete definition. To see things as they are. We are not able to see things as they are if we see through charma chakshu. That's what the materialistic people try to see through a material vision, through their charma chakshu, through their material eyes. And therefore they are actually not able to see things properly. And because they don't see things properly, the conclusions, their perceptions are wrong, and therefore their conclusions are wrong, and naturally they're misled. But when you see through Shastra Chakshu, Tasmat Shastram Pramanam Te, Karya Akarya Vyavasthitam. So when you see through the eye of scriptures, you can see things. That's the beginning. But when you go to the heart of the scripture and understand why the scriptures were given, by whom was it given, and why was it given, then you can understand the spirit behind the statements. And then we develop prema chakshu. Premanjana charita bhakti vilochanena santa sadaiva hrudayeshu vilokayanti. You understand the heart of the person who gave the scriptures. Krishna gave the scriptures. Maya mugdha jiver nahi svata Krishna gyan. Jivere kripaye koila Krishna veda puran. Maya mugdha jiva. A person who is bewildered by illusory energy. Nahi svata Krishna gyan. He doesn't know Krishna. He doesn't know himself. He doesn't know what's the purpose of life. Sambandha, videya, prayojan, nothing. Jivere kripai koila Krishna Veda Puran. By his mercy he actually manifested. So the essence of the whole scripture is to purify one's existence and glorify the Lord. That's all. Harad Namanu Kirtanam. To glorify the Lord. And that's the only way of, best way of purification of one's existence. Which is what the scripture is all about basically. Only two things. And then, everything can be put in proper perspective. And with this perspective, when a person acts, that action is perfect. But very difficult for others to understand why they act like this. Vaishnavera kriya mudra vigyana bujhaya. And this is what is explained in this 4-5 verses. The other day, a person was asking, I am not able to move further in Srimad Bhagavatam, study of Srimad Bhagavatam. How do I study and move ahead? You know, sometimes I go in the purport and I get caught up, I get confused, I don't know where I am, what I am happening, and you know, I feel nice, I feel nourished, but somehow, you know, where is the Bhagavatam going, which direction, I don't understand. So I told him, there are two things. One is, both should be there. Quality should be there and quantity should be there. Sometimes people want to finish and they go so quickly that they look back and say, what happened? You know, I came too fast. It's like driving through full speed and not appreciating the beautiful sight when you're passing through some countryside, you know, riding. You should enjoy the ride. Look around. So sometimes they go through, focused exclusively. Road in front, 20 feet ahead, that's all. And of course, once in a way, just to see, you know, go in the right direction. Or some people stop the vehicle and appreciate the countryside and don't move ahead. That's what happens in Srimad Bhagavatam. Some go into the purport, and from the purport, some cross-reference, they go to some other scripture and go away and don't come back. Why this person did this? Achha, this Purana says, Pruji, I want that Purana now. Where is that? This reference is here. So how to move ahead and simultaneously. Because unless you move ahead, the sense of achievement is not there. The motivation to sustain is not there. And simultaneously, you can't sustain it unless there is some nourishment and relishing happening simultaneously. So, I told him, I don't know, this is not the only way. There are many people, so many ways of studying Bhagavatam. Doesn't matter, however it is, whatever inspires you, do it. Just start it. But one way, I found it to be very inspiring, at least for myself and for many others. And also, which is logical to appreciate and understand, is first get a quick bird's eye view of the chapter. So take a chapter, just don't even go to the shlokas, don't even go to the word to word, don't even go to the purport. Just read the translation. So this chapter, chapter 36, has 40 verses. So this particular, the slaying of Arishta, the bull demon, has 40 verses. So read the 40 verses. So you get a flow. What is the flow of the story? So you get that. Then you go and divide it into broad sections. In that story, what are the main events that happened? Main incidents that has happened. Alright, these are the two or the three main incidents that happened in this chapter. Then little detail about that incident. Little more detail. The second part. First, 1, 2, 3 points. Next, what happened in that story. Little more details. Krishna threw it, how much distance? Okay, 6 yards. That's good. Quite a distance, you know. Sometimes these details are important. How many verses? 18,000. So you get an idea. Like somebody came, you know, and said, can I get the Bhagavatam? I just want to, you know, study while reading in the bus. I say, do you have an idea what Srimad Bhagavatam is? They thought, yeah, Gita. I said, no, this is 18,000 verses. Acha, that means I need a big bag and, you know, some carriage to carry it. Sometimes people have no idea. Can I get Mahabharata? 1 lakh verses. So just to get an idea. So, 40 verses. Divide into that three main things. Two or three. And then go into a little more detail. And then go to the purport to ultimately that is the purpose. The relevance of that story, the story within the story is contained the lesson that must be imbibed and applied in our story of our life. And if you see Prabhupada, many of these chapters he actually gives Bhaktivinoda. So he, in the first paragraph of the summary of that chapter, in one paragraph, short paragraph, he gives main thing that happened in this chapter. Then he elaborates in little extra, the little expansion of those incident, little more detail. And then he encourages you to go to the verse by verse, relish it and relish the purports. So for example, this chapter 36, in just 2 1/4 line, the purport is given, the essence is given of this chapter. This chapter describes how Krishna killed Arishtasura and how Kamsa reacted when he learned from Narada that Krishna and Balaram were the sons of Vasudev. This is it. So this chapter has 3 important points. Kamsa kills Arishtasura demon, came in the form of a bull. Immediately after that, Narada comes and enlightens Kamsa about the truth of the matter, who Krishna and Balaram actually are, and how Kamsa responded. This is it. These are the 3 important events that has happened in this chapter. Then, there are 3 paragraphs which gives a little more detail about this incident. First, the demon Arishta wanted to kill Krishna and Balaram, and thus he assumed the form of a huge bull with sharp horns. Everyone in Krishna's cowherd village became terrified when Arishtasura approached. But the Lord pacified them, and when the bull demon charged him, he seized him by the horns and threw him about 6 yards. 1 yard is how much? 3 feet? 3 feet 3 inches is 1 meter. 3 feet is 1 yard? 6 yards means 18 feet. Throwing the bull, which was, you know, like his humps were touching the cloud, throwing him 18 feet is, for a little boy like Krishna, really substantial. Though weakened, Arishta still wanted to attack Krishna. Thus, dripping with sweat, he charged the Lord once again. This time, Krishna grabbed his horns, threw him to the ground and thrashed him like a pile of wet clothing. The demon vomited blood and gave up his life. Then Krishna and Ram, while being honored by the demigods and cowherd boys, returned to the village. So, text 1 to 15 of the 40 verses, 1 to 15 contains the killing of the Arishta demon. Next, 16 to 19, 16, 17, 18, 19, 4 verses. Narada comes and does the needful. He does a quick job, like a surgeon, you know. Doesn't play around, just shh, and then he goes. So done a thorough surgery. So a short time later, Narada Muni, the great sage among the demigods, came to see Kamsa. He informed the king that Krishna and Balaram were not Nanda's sons, but rather Vasudev's. It was out of fear of Kamsa that Vasudev had put the two boys under Nanda's care. Furthermore, said Narada, Kamsa would meet his death at their hands. Enough to shake up a person from his, you know, complacency, sleep, and get activated to quicken the pastime, you know, setting the stage. 4 verses. And then 20 to 40, 21 verses is how Kamsa reacted. What all he did? He did actually quite a few things. Kamsa shook with fear and anger when he heard all this, and in great agitation he began thinking of how to destroy Krishna and Balaram. He called for the demon Chanura and Mushtika and instructed them to kill the two brothers in a wrestling match. Then he spoke to Akrura, who was expert at executing his duties. Taking Akrura by the hand, Kamsa persuaded him to go to Braj to bring the two boys to Mathura. Akrura agreed to carry out Kamsa's order and then returned home. So, 3 incidents. Main incidents. And then, having understood that, then go to the verses, then go to the purports, and squeeze out as much juice as you can. That is for relishing, that's for practicing, that's for benefiting. And that's what Srimad Bhagavatam is all about. It's just to, you know, completely open up that pressed cotton, you know, you just fluff it out. In the last several days, more than 15 days, 20 days, we have been hearing about the killing of Arista demon. I'm sure many of you are hearing the classes here. From the killing of Arista, can any of you tell me what were the highlights that you can learn? What did you learn in the classes? At least 2 things that I learned, which was really something impressed me or put some impression in my heart, is it's interesting that the demon Arista came in the form of a bull, which is representing our religion. Hypocrisy. He came in the form of a bull, which is actually symbol of religion, to do the most irreligious activity. Religion means to... There's no religion without... meaning to religion without God. And he is coming to kill God in a very religious disguise of a bull. That's the hypocrisy. Second thing that I heard when His Holiness Radhanath Swami gave the class this, that how from the most inauspicious thing, an auspicious situation can come, provided we remain focused. Because of this Arista coming, Radha Kund manifested. Sham Kund manifested. Thanks to Arista, in that sense. Actually, thanks Krishna, thank the gopis. Because they turned this situation into a positive thing. That's the nature of the devotees. Even the most worst situation, they are saragrahi. They see how this can be utilized for Krishna's purpose. So, anyone else would like to share in the last 15 days something that inspired them? What? Just to wake up everyone. Thursday morning. Yes, Prabhu.
I appreciated how Arista Sura represented the pride that comes from misconceived religion. And I appreciate that because I was wondering about how many misconceptions I might be having in Christian consciousness from which is stemming a lot of pride and thus blocking my further progress in Christian consciousness.
Actually, if we try to put ourselves in the demon's shoes, we can see actually. We also have this symbol of religion, donning the saffron. That's it. At least for others, this is what we represent. But then if you have this big hump, born out of the lump of ego that we may have, we could be actually demonstrating ourselves, showing off our, you know, glory in front of others. And eventually, of course, Krishna also crushes and then bite the dust. So these are, you know, like, and if you go to the purport, many wonderful things are coming up. So taking this next incident, that is Narada, is coming directly, like going to the den of the lion. As if Kamsa is not doing enough damage. Directly going to Kamsa, while Vasudev and Devaki are right there. Can you imagine, poor thing, they have suffered so much. And they are somehow relieved. And now he is going to tell them that this Vasudev cheated you. Actually, as soon as he heard, Kamsa pulled out his sword and went to kill Vasudev. He went to kill Vasudev. And Kamsa, Narada stopped him. Hey, it's not they. It's not they. It's Krishna and Balaram. If you kill Vasudev, probably they will run away from there itself. They'll never come here. They are the people who are going to kill you. So don't do more damage, you know. Otherwise, you will win the battle but lose the war. So let Vasudev be there. You call them. Actually, he was working for the benefit of Vasudev. Because Vasudev was feeling tremendous separation from Krishna. And of course, people were feeling tremendous misery out of Kamsa's existence. So he wanted to facilitate. Quicker the demon goes, the better. And also, Vasudev and Devaki, who have been deprived, who suffered so much for facilitating Krishna's appearance, and after that also, 10 years of suffering under the oppressive rule of Kamsa. He wanted Krishna to come and stay with them for some time, at least pacify them. So actually he was doing for their welfare. That's why it is said, Vaishnavera Kriya Mudra Vijnana Bhusha. It's very difficult to understand the activity of a Vaishnava. And here, in this particular purport, I just thought I'll share 2-3 wonderful things from there, just as quickly as possible. Here, Kamsa had been led to believe that Krishna was the son of Yashoda and Devaki, and that Devaki's 8th child had been a daughter. Actually, I once was hearing Radha Govind Maharaj's lecture on this particular incident, when, you know, during Janmashtami, killing of 6 children and the 7th child, 7 daughter escaping. 7th aborted, or miscarriage, and 8th being a daughter. So Radha Govind Maharaj, in his, the way he speaks, he says, "To Kans ne socha, aajkal devata bhi jhoot bolne lage hain." Because the voice from the sky had told that the 8th child will be, but is a daughter. Demigods also started speaking lies nowadays. And till now, for 10 years, he was under the belief that the demigods had told a lie. Demigods never tell a lie. What to speak of that? A pure devotee never tells a lie. They speak the truth. And now it is proving. I said, hey, that's not. Vasudev had actually, you know, swapped. He brought them here, and brought the child there. And therefore, you fool, Kamsa. What have you done? 10 years you have wasted. Quick, action. Get it done. Now he remembers, yeah, the demigods had told. So there are two places where this particular point about the words of
demigods or words of great sages, pure-hearted devotees of the Lord, how they prove to be true. And if it is wrong, then people wonder, how is it? Even Prahlad said that just to protect my words, my Lord, you have come. What is that sloka? Tava bhritya satyam vidhatum nija bhritya bhashitam. Just to prove my words right, Kamsa had asked, Hiranyakashipu was asked, is your Lord every, is he in the pillar? Yes, he is there. Can you imagine? Just to prove his word right, because the devotees of the Lord, pure devotees of the Lord, speak exactly what the Lord has spoken. They repeat the words. And to fulfill their words, Kaunteya pratijanihi name bhakta pranashati. Sometimes the Lord acts in a very, you know, ways that are very difficult to understand. He may break his own words. But a devotee, when he speaks, the Lord goes to any extent, bend backward if necessary, to prove that his devotee's words are proven right. I would like to leave, there are 2-3 instances, but I, lack of time, so I'll just read one verse where Lord Brahma is telling Narada. This is 2nd canto, 6th chapter, text 34, Purusha Sukta confirmed. Where Lord Brahma is telling Narada, why my words are like lines on a rock. You know, just like, you know, Ten Commandments. I had seen that movie, you know. The thunderbolt comes and writes on the tablets, stone tablets. And then Moses comes with these lines on a rock. They are like statements which are written forever, true. It's actually the word of God. So Brahma says, this is Brahma's statement. O Narada, because I have caught hold of the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead Hari with great zeal, whatever I say has never proved to have been false, nor is the progress of my mind ever deterred, nor are my senses ever degraded by temporary attachment to matter. There are three statements. Na bharati me anga mrushopalakshate. Na bharati. Bharati means speech. Na bharati me anga, oh my dear Narada, mrusha upalakshate. Mrusha is untruth, upalakshate is proven. Every word that I speak has never proved to be wrong. Navai kachin me manaso mrisha gati. Navai kachit, never me manaso, my mind, mrisha gati. Mrisha here means untruth, gati means progress. My mind never deviates towards anything that is untruth. Name hrishikani patanti asat pathe. And my rishikani, my senses, patanti asat pathe. It never goes towards asat. It never falls towards the asat. Why? Yanme hridi utkanthaya dhrito hari. Yanme, because I, hridau in my heart, utkantha vata, by great earnestness, dhritaha, caught hold of Harihi, the Supreme Lord. Just like if a piece of iron is stuck to a powerful magnet, it acts as good as a magnet. Anything that you attach it, it gets fixed up. And that's what really sannyas means. Sannyas means socially dead. Karmana manasa vacha. My body, my mind, and my words should be fully in alignment
And there are two things he says. In my heart, there is utkanchavata. That means there is tremendous eagerness and dhriti, with tremendous determination to hold on to the Lord. Nama om Vishnu padaya Krishna prishthaya bhutale. Holding on to the feet. That means my mind will never think anything other than the words of God. My lips will never speak anything other than the words of God. And my senses will not act any way other than according in alignment with the words of God. Therefore, they are walking scriptures. The Bhagavats, they are walking scriptures. Just by seeing them, you understand the purport of the scriptures. Just by the way they act, you understand the will of the Lord. Because they have no other plan than the plan of the Lord. They are working perfectly in harmony. Therefore, Narada Devadarshana. One meaning of Devadarshana, as it was explained, that seeing them is as good as seeing the Lord. Meeting them is as good as meeting the Lord. You get the same benefit as good as meeting the Lord, provided you approach with a proper consciousness, with the right attitude, and that eagerness to take that benefit. So that is the, and I would like to just conclude with Srila Prabhupada's purport to this. Just, you know, the whole idea is to develop a relish again. Please listen to this purport of Prabhupada to this. Lord Brahma is the original speaker of Vedic wisdom to Narada, and Narada is the distributor of transcendental knowledge all over the world through his various disciples like Vyasa and others. The followers of Vedic wisdom accept the statements of Brahmaji as gospel truth, and transcendental knowledge is thus being distributed all over the world by the process of disciplic succession from time immemorial since the beginning of the creation. Lord Brahma is the perfect liberated living being within the material world, and any sincere student of transcendental knowledge must accept the words and statements of Brahmaji as infallible. The Vedic knowledge is infallible because it comes down directly from the Supreme Lord unto the heart of Brahma. And since he is the most perfect living being, Brahmaji is always correct to the letter. And this is because Lord Brahma is a great devotee of the Lord who has earnestly accepted the lotus feet of the Lord as the supreme truth. In the Brahma Samhita, which is compiled by Brahmaji, he repeats the aphorism, Govindam Adipurusham Tamaham Bhajami. I am the worshipper of the original personality of Godhead, Govinda, the primary Lord. So whatever he says, whatever he thinks, and whatever he does normally in his mood are to be accepted as truth because of his direct and very intimate connection with Govinda, the primeval Lord. Sri Govinda, who pleasingly accepts the loving transcendental service of the devotees, gives all protection to the words and actions of his devotees. The Lord declares in the Gita, Kaunteya Pratijanihi, O son of Kunti, please declare it. The Lord asks Arjun to declare, and why? Because sometimes the declaration of Govinda himself may seem contradictory to mundane creatures. But the mundaner will never find any contradiction in the words of the Lord's devotees. That's why when the Lord comes, very few people accept. But when devotees speak, very people accept. Because Lord says, I am God, Aham Sarvam, Mata Sarvam Prabhu. That many people do. So therefore they say, he's also an egoistic fellow, I think. But a devotee selflessly says, God is everything, God. That is more convincing. Sometimes devotees do more preaching than God himself. God does, you know, does the show and goes off. And then the explained purport is given by the devotees. The purports are easy to understand. God's activities are very difficult. Janma karma chame divyam. Here's a long purport, I'll just read. Because the devotee's service is accepted by the Lord in full reciprocation, the Lord is also complete spiritual embodiment. The devotee's senses being engaged in the service of the Lord never go astray under the attraction of false material enjoyment. The plans of the devotee never go in vain. And all this is due to the faithful attachment of the devotee to the service of the Lord. This is the standard of perfect and liberation. Perfection and liberation. Anyone beginning from Brahma down to the human being is at once put on the path of liberation simply by his attachment in great eagerness for the Supreme Lord Shri Krishna, the primeval Lord. Yeah, so this is the concluding part. And therefore, anyone therefore who is earnestly serious in heart and soul about being in intimate touch with the personality of Godhead in the relationship of transcendental loving service will always be infallible in words and action. The reason is that the Supreme Lord is absolute truth, and anything earnestly dovetailed with the absolute truth attains the same transcendental quality. On the other hand, any amount of mental speculation on the strength of material science and knowledge without any bona fide touch with the absolute truth is sure to be a mundane untruth and failure, simply due to not being in touch with the absolute truth. Such godless, unfaithful words and actions, however materially enriched, are never to be trusted. And this is the concluding. This, like Burijan Prabhu says, you have to collect the gems, you know. There are so many gems in Srimad Bhagavatam. And you are like diving inside the sea or going deep into the earth and digging. Sometimes you find the gem. So the gem is here, the concluding of this purport. That is the purport of this important verse. A grain of devotion is more valuable than tons of faithlessness. Tons and tons of literature, the tons and tons of conclusion may not give you as much benefit as a grain of devotion that is contained in this Bhagavatam. So why not invest our human form of life, which is already fleeting and so much of time is already going away. We can't afford to, you know, risk going here and there. He's already there. So we can take advantage, perfect our life. Hare Krishna, Srila Prabhupada ki, Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Bodh Premanandi. Thank you very much.